This is RSBNB Update, episode 457, recorded Friday, March 21st, 2014, The Missing Roundup. Hello, everybody, and thank you for sitting in with us on this episode of RSBNB Update. Just a normal kind of episode here this week. We've got our normal co-host with us. Would you care to say hello, Monsieur?
Hi, guys.
We also got King Cola, who is here. He is my partner in crime on RSBNB Informer.
Hello, everyone. Good to be back again.
You probably remember him from back in the olden days of free-to-play RuneScape playing and mastering the cockroach soldiers on RS, which was the only censored monster in game.
Of course, you probably don't remember that because even I barely remember that. That was so long ago.
It's my job here to
just keep... goes to show how long ago it was actually that RuneScape has, you know, flourished to this point in time.
Exactly. Yes. And it's my job to remind everybody about these things. Like, everybody has their own specific intro. That's yours. And we need to have Paul again on the show so I can do his intro.
In which you remind him that he was once married on RuneScape.
Correct.
You are?
Sorry, Paul, I had to remind everyone of that. In case you're listening. I hope you're not.
Yeah, no, he won't. He has a girl now.
Oh, God. What does that have to do with
he's
anything?
He's not married to.
Alrighty. Aside from that little digression right there, let's begin with the Majerat Memories, the so-called mini-quest.
I wasn't going there, Shane. You went there, not me.
Yeah, well, it's okay. I needed to do this, and then just Patrick or Kala took us that way, and that's just the way it went. But anyways, Majerat Memories, it's the follow-on from Kostchai's Troubles. It's a mini-quest that came out last February. Now, I have a question to you.
Last February?
Yeah, February 18th, 2013. I looked this up in our show notes for that week, and there was no mention of this. So did we totally skip over this, or was it not announced?
It was never announced.
I mean, I did not have this done. I talked to our lorehound, Reed, and he said, yeah, this was done. I did this. I don't know where this came from, but you need to have Kostchai's Troubles done before you begin the Majerat Memories mini-quest. And I emphasize the word mini-quest right there. Because they say it's a mini-quest, but in reality, this is the longest quest that's in the game. No kidding. Basically, what one must do for Majerat Memories is that you basically go to your favorite divination spot, whatever it might be, whether it be the one in Piscatorius or in the desert, and gather divination memories. You need 500 of them to charge this chest. And then once you charge this chest, you take it to places where the Majerat have been before. So examples like this are the place where the ritual of the Majerat was, Lucien's old house. Kala, we're not talking about Lucien Bouchard, even though I know that's probably what you're thinking. But
no, I wasn't.
Okay. But basically, you go to one of these Majerat places, and you use this, and you get a memory from that Majerat. And that's essentially what this is, Majerat Memories. And for each one of these, you get 25,000 Divination XP and a lore book. We'll be going into more depth on the lore books next week with Earth in a supplemental before the quest comes out, to talk about what the book's contents were and what they mean for the quest of the Majerat. As it stands right now, I'm almost done. I have two left to get. So let's just say that it takes about 20 minutes per memory to fill up for the full 500 worth. And after that, you got to go find it. So, of course, it's going to take a long time to do this. Now, of course, mini quests, this long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go harvest any?
No, I haven't had time. I've been busy all week. All
right.
Talked with other people about it very briefly instead of just complaining of how long it's taking them to do it. So I was like, okay. That means I need more time to actually be able to do it.
Yeah, and there's 15 of them total, and you get books for each one. Each one is about 6 or 7 pages long. I don't want to stray into offering commentary as to what the books might mean this week, because I haven't read through them all yet, and I want to get somebody on for a supplemental or maybe even a focus about this in order to ensure that, you know, we are covering this adequately before the quest comes out next week. So I'm not going to offer speculation as to where the lore is going from this, but stay tuned for that next week.
So were there any books of secret arts?
What?
Were there any books of secret arts?
What do you mean by secret arts?
You know, teach you secrets about what's, you know, secret dark magic or something like that?
No, nothing that extravagant. I mean, all it is really lore story back end and divination XP and bonus XP once you finish up. 375,000 divination XP is pretty good when you think about it. Because the way this works is you also get 150k bonus XP, so that's worth 300k training experience right there. So this is pretty good in terms of leveling up divination for the quest coming out next week that's going to require level 75. So let me just see what we got going on right here in terms of the experience. What's your divination level?
My divination level right now is level 80.
So you already got the requirement. Well, let's just say...
barely.
Let's just say you were starting at level 60. Okay. I don't know what experience level 60 is. Anyways, let's just say you're at level 70. That's around 737,000 divination XP. And when you do that, so 737,000 plus 375, this is going to take you upwards of 1.1 million divination XP. So combining this with the extra 300,000 that you get from actually training divination XP, you're looking at about 1.4 million total divination XP if you started this at level 70. So with that being underscored, even if you're not interested in lore, this is definitely something that you should look into, because in doing this, from level 70, you get all the way to level 76 dungeoneering. I mean divination, god damn it.
Okay, Shane, we're not all perfect.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a huge amount of XP. You also get the Pontifice and Legatus title. And you also get a tiny Lucien pet.
Uh-huh.
So that's the rewards for doing this. I think I'll be Pontifex Shane12088 after this is all over.
Okay. So what? Are you just... Basically, the quest so far, are you just doing this to where they've been and just gathering these books?
Yeah, you're just...
the whole premise of the quest?
Gathering their memory.
So what triggers all of this? Why all of a sudden do they want you to gather all these memories anyway?
Well, the idea is behind it is that the Majorat, who is downstairs in Relica, where you did the Fremenic Trials quest, he has a blocked memory. And in order to do this, you're helping him discover the past history of the Majorat and learn more about what he is and what his role was, because one of the memories you actually uncover is his own.
Mm-hmm. So he's trying to discover who he was?
Exactly. I mean, you first met him in the Kostai's Trouble thing where you got an enchanted Belmung, but after that, he's a Majorat, and you really don't know anything about him. So the idea is that you're just learning about the Majorat with this, and there's one of his memories where you learn about him as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
that's essentially the mini quest. I would highly advise anybody who needs to do it in order to have the appropriate divination level of 75 for the quest this coming week, get started this weekend. It's a great way of training divination and a good way of learning some lore along the way. And in doing this, I mean, there's nothing bad that comes of it. You don't get spoilers for past quests. You just learn about what's been going on in RuneScape.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's Majorat Memories.
Cool. So, let's see. Yeah, what's the reward from doing all of this?
Well, I mentioned a boatload of divination XP, two titles, and a pet.
Don't care for pets.
Yeah.
Do they bring my lord in yet?
No. Just Pontifex and the goddess.
Fine.
All right. So that's all I'm willing to talk about on this week. We'll bring more into the story of the Majorat books next week in either a focus or supplemental, depending. More likely than not, a supplemental of some sort. So, with that being said, why don't you take us through the circus updates, unless Kala here has any questions on what a Majorat is?
No, I briefly met Lucian back when I first started out in Members, so I kind of gathered what they are.
Yeah,
sounds like a pretty interesting quest and a good way to get some extra divination XP. How long did it take for you?
Well, like I said, you're looking at least 20 minutes per memory, and there's 15 of them. That's on the conservative side, so you can do the math from there.
So 5 hours.
Yep.
Well, that's pretty long, then. Yes, for
that's long. Yeah, that's put on a movie and have a cup of coffee or hot chocolate. Ooh, hot chocolate would be good right now, wouldn't it?
Try multiple cups.
The mini quest?
Fun?
Yeah.
Well, you're gathering divination memories. It's like wood cutting.
Fair enough.
Wood cutting is so much fun, though. You're chopping wood all day and you're okay.
Do you at least get to see the memories?
No. You have to read them.
Oh, well, that's kind of lame then.
Yeah, I don't
know. If they could do a cool little cutscene for them, that would be neat.
And that's the thing. There's 15 of them, so I think that would be pretty hard for them to do. I completely agree with you that would be good, but 15 cutscenes of people who are dead and in the past, that would be hard.
That doesn't have to be long. It could be like even 5 seconds or something like that, right?
Yeah,
could be less of them and they could, you know, spend more time on.
I mean, we could do a dramatic reading of them.
Oh, I'm down. I'm down for that. I'll do it.
Do you have the books?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Well, when you do, we'll talk about it.
That'd be a great little clip show thing, wouldn't it?
What, a dramatic reading of the Majorat memories?
As I went through the Valley of Death, I saw another Majorat in front of me. I went, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" He said, "Screw you." Like, oh, man.
Oh, I sure hope that if the Jagex ended up doing something like that, they had more imagination than
And can
you.
We make Lucien French just because of what I said?
French, let's see. Oui, 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 oui,
oui, oui,
oui, oui, oui, oui, oui, oui, oui, I went all Punjabi.
Alrighty, with that being said, take us through the circus improvements. Since I know you're very fond of the circus.
Yes, I like going to the circus with popcorn and ice cream and cotton candy. Anyway, circus update this week. They made some minor changes. Most of it is very minute. So as before with the circus, you used to have to kind of talk to the little NPC and then go to the chest, grab the items out. they kind of removed that little part. What you can do now is literally go to that star, click on it, and then you can do whatever you really want to do, which is good. Which is good. So you can kind of just start off right away. Same with magic and range and agility. Agility now, you don't need to grab anything from the chest. You can click on the juggle icon, and it will pop up the interface for anything you can juggle. It does show what the audience wants in the top left hand and what things you've done. But as far as I recall, most of the time it's really don't follow what they say. It's really do what's around your level. So I'm pretty high in everything else. I just go everything from 62 to 70, 80, 90, 99. Just do the top five. And usually they have two things you can do for each one. So I just do that. One thing I do like, though, is that they did a mini change with the thieving one. Because before, even if you did all five thieving tricks, you still had to go and kind of go through the dialogue. And what happened is that... Hey, quiet down, you two, before I get the dog and bite you. Okay. Anyway, what happened is, well, now they actually kind of got rid of that. So once you've done all five emotes successfully, you're pretty much already done. And now you don't have this another stupid dialogue if you're tearing up a ticket, which is good.
What do you mean?
Well, before they asked you, "Do you sure you want to tear this ticket? Yes or no?" They kind of got rid of that whole dialogue, which is good.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So I have a question for you. It also says that you can get XP rewards for thieving and fire making if you've completed some quests. Yeah. Which quests are these?
Thieving one. I can't remember which thieving one. No, it was the penguin one for thieving because you get the polar bear. The fire one was, I think it was Icy Fire? No. Which one was the one with...
All Fired Up?
There we go. You had to do All Fired Up. That's the one.
Okay. Now, are these experiences you get from these as good as the main experience, or are they just a little bit extra on the side?
But they're the same as all the other little activities there. They gave me roughly the same amount for every single time, around 20K, give or take, every week for each one. So not bad. Ranging's always been good because usually it's hard to train range. Thieving is nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm primarily wondering about, because thieving is a skill that I just do not like training. So if I could... get it from the circus, that would encourage me to go back, because I stopped going to the circus because I've already got 99 magic and agility, so I didn't really see the point with just going there for ranged. So if I can get thieving there as well, definitely will be something to look back into.
About 10k, you're about 10k in thieving, and you can also get the range one, so you can just do those two. It's always good. I don't bother with the magic one anymore. Oh, I don't bother with the fire one anymore anyway, since I've already gotten my 99 in it. So you can just do range and thieving and just go. And, you know, with the new lodestone thing, you can just sort of click on a usual arrow where to go. So you don't need to go searching around for it.
And this is from the challenges interface, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Light is not working. Yeah, it came from the challenges.
Okay. Any cosmetic overrides that you like?
Well, I never care for the cosmetic overrides anyway, so whatever. The costumes is kind of the ring master outfit. So if you never got it, you have it now.
All right. I think this is definitely something that did need to be fixed, because it's in the realm of content, you know, that was once good, but still there's no real reason people want to end up going to it. So I think that any time we can give a fresh coat of paint to a piece of content like this, it's very good.
People still do penguins, heroes of gothics too. Heroes is always good if you're a lower level, especially if I think it's pretty decent. I've always enjoyed going to Tears of Gothics.
Hey, Tears of Gothics is Tog. Where else do we know Tog from?
very Tog. An absurdly long British tank on World of Tanks.
Anyways,
it's
comically
large.
I just had to throw that in there. I'm sorry. But
beats me. I don't play tanks.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Guys
are dumb.
All right. So, anything else with the circus update you want to inform us on there?
Oh, not much. I mean, you know, once a week, just do that, and you're done. It's pretty quick and simple. With the challenge, with the new challenges interface, you can just click on it, go to the load zone, and it points you where to go.
All right. Sounds good to me. And there's one more piece of an update this week that, in my opinion, has been a long time coming, and is something that really should have shipped with RuneScape 3 when it first got here. All right, so can you guess what this one little piece of an update is that is so great this week?
They introduced more Star Trek trivia into the game?
No. Even though that would be great? No, that is not it. What they did is they updated
Star Wars trivia?
No, absolutely not. What they did is they updated the ribbon in order to be customizable.
Hey.
Which, when you think about it,
customization.
This is something that really should have came out with RS3. Because unless you knew exactly where to go, you had a certain number of clicks to get to things such as your worn equipment interface or your stats or your backpack. And with this, you can customize it to your heart's content. This is, in my opinion, one step towards what they're going to be doing in terms of the legacy project, in that the next step will require changing what this ribbon looks like to actually make it look like the old Stones interface, as they call it. Except you're going to be able to completely customize it yourself, which I know people are going to be all over. For me, I customize it to be horizontal once again, because there's actually a bug in the vertical format, but I'll talk about that in just a minute. Alright, so I customized mine to have the backpack, stats, magic spells, prayer, hero interface where you could access all your defensive stuff and whatnot, and also the worn equipment, the adventures for the challenges, the community tab for the dreaded power to the player stuff, and then extras, and just the random button you have to have at the end to access all the other stuff. Now, you might be asking, you've seen my interface before, and it's normally in a vertical position, and why am I doing horizontal now? Well, the reason I'm going horizontal is because there's actually a bug where if you put the ribbon on the right-hand side of your screen, the mouse over images to show the other buttons do not appear on the screen. They overflow to an area where you cannot click them. So that is a bug that currently exists with this, and that's why I went back to horizontal. But overall, I think this is a good update, and it'll definitely pave the way towards legacy mode or whatever they end up calling it. The problem is, of course, you need to teach people how to customize this, because it's not apparent that a little edit icon down at the bottom of the ribbon is going to let you edit this and make it look like the old style of interface. There will have to be presets brought into the game later on in order to set these up properly. So, anyways, that's my stance on the ribbon thing. Do you have any interesting stuff on the ribbon thing there?
Nope, nothing at all. All
right. Are you using the customized one, or did you stay default?
I'm still default right now. I'm just letting it go.
All right. That's fair enough. Okay. Well, let's move on to the tweaks and fixes or release notes from this week. Anything jumping out at you?
Tweaks and fixes? Let's see. What color do you want to go first?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, for me, the vast majority of the good ones this week are in the ninja fixes. Specifically, when picking up ammo from the ground, it will automatically be added to your quiver if it currently holds the same item, which is good.
Thank God.
Familiar timer has been added to the active buff list when you have a familiar summoned. Sinkholes D&D has been sped up to allow players to get into games faster. Players will no longer lose a daily sinkholes game when disconnecting from a game. And the bank chest near the Armadale camp south of Falador is back once again.
And sacred clay harpoons are now correctly recognized as harpoons when fishing. And also, they made a lot of supposedly HTML5 engine fixes this week.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was meaning to have a look at that, but they say there are the HTML5 engine fixes and whatnot coming into the game, and you know, at this point, it just seems as though there's not enough active development on the HTML5 beta to go have a look, especially if you're doing anything particularly dangerous, because last time I used it, it was still having all sorts of JavaScript crashes and whatnot. So, I don't know. It'll definitely be interesting to see where they take the engine tech in the next 6 to 12 months, but at this point, I think most of what we can be happy about this week comes from the engine ninja updates.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Anything else?
For once, I didn't find something funny in there.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks since there was something funny, so they're known to put updates in, like. I think there was once a wrong gender thing. But
yeah, okay. I looked through all of them. There's nothing funny in there. That's too bad. All
right, going once, going twice.
Go, Shane.
Gone. All right, next up, the polling update. I'll start off
this
week.
I hated this week. This week was stupid.
Elf Quest, or Sixth Age Quest, I mean, still winning with 50% in the Dragonstone poll, so that's looking like that's going to stick. What do we got for Diamond?
Diamond got the Elf Quest. Elf City, what skills do you want to use? I thought we had Thieving last time. Or was it Hunter?
No. Hunter.
What was it last time?
Hunter.
Huh?
Pretty sure it was Hunter.
Okay. And this time we have Dungeoneering. Like, why would you have Dungeoneering in an Elf Quest?
Well, it's Dungeoneering.
You're not
and
supposed
Herbore.
To go underground.
They're choosing the top two.
But they don't
two.
Go underground.
I know.
It's not part of the elven lore. So what? We're going to dress up as the mourners again, go into a dungeon and try to rescue Zelda? And look for a special key, unlock the doors, defeat a boss, go through another dungeon, tell them you hold this sword in order to defeat the enemy, go on through then fight a bunch of bat wings and whatnot, and then, I don't know, find Zelda, get the Triforce, and we call it a day. And then we defeat the monarch in Ardonia.
No, then you find out that your princess is in another castle, and then you end up, you know, having to go on, and that's how they continue it.
if that happened, I would tell the Mirage to rob. Might as well just kill her now and be done with it. Keep her.
Or you wait for 10 years, like we've been doing.
But, you know, okay, what kind of sucks is that? Herbore, yeah, I can kind of get it. It's elven thing. You know, they're very magical abilities and whatnot. That kind of goes with their lore. I voted for runecrafting because I kind of figured, hey, these guys are supposed to be thousands of years old. They should have some knowledge that we don't have as humans. Dungeoneering makes no defense. It's just plain stupid. I don't know why they thought to make defense part of it. It's never really been very, very heavily combat related. It's always been more of a mini hybrid of puzzles and whatnot.
The thing is, constitution and defense, Saren, the elves' god, is a pacifist, so why are combat things on here as an option?
Well, remember, he's defense, so he, you know, you still have to defend yourself. You know, raise the shields!
I guess, but...
But...
You know, I honestly don't know what to pick in this one, because Herblore is fast enough. We got runecrafting with the rune span. I guess I went
maybe
for
release
Dungeoneering.
Soul runes. Soul runes. Maybe they release a soul altar.
Okay. Okay, I'll change my vote to runecrafting just for that, since there's a none of the above option.
But, you know, I kind of thought that dungeoneering was just pointless, and this poll, it doesn't feel like giving power to the player. They should really give free creativity to whoever's developing it.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And
so, okay, so, you know, you kind of look at it, okay, we know it was an elf quest this summer. We know it's going to involve dungeoneering, herblore, and hunter. We're going to be hunting some crazy guy. We're going to go into the dungeon to find him, and we're going to make a herblore to wake up Zelda.
That sounds like a great quest. They should add that in. I'd play that.
And the beauty of it is, it's all decided by the players.
Well, the players are stupid.
I'm glad people are finally starting to see the downsides of power to the players.
Shane, I found out the downside of these voting things when we got the wilderness back. And
there
I already
you go.
Said why many
Tyranny
years ago.
Did you say okay. Silent majority?
I said tyranny of the majority.
Oh, well, I guess. I mean, it's
have you never heard
seemed...
that phrase before?
Yeah, I have.
Sure,
you
have. Shane
like
is one of them.
No.
Yes.
It does if it's a pull on something that you don't like, and the choice you don't like ends up winning, and that's why they implement it.
And you know, this is the thing. It doesn't seem like the majority of people want these things. The Sixth Age quest is the first option in a long time to anything on these to come away with a majority. That wasn't a binary yes-no option. So, I mean...
In fairness, you know, the more options you introduce, the less likely a majority is going to happen. I mean, that's...
Well, yeah.
Same in politics, right?
But still, I mean... This whole system is just catering to the minority, and I don't know. And like we said, we got to give the creative back to Jagex. That is the whole point behind power to the players. It's not because I hate the players. It's not because I'm mad at the players. I just think Jagex deserves the ability to do this.
You know, if they... What they would surely do for polls is like more of like what they did with the circus. What areas do you want to update? That's really what they should focus on. What areas we want to see change in order to make the game better, not what should happen in a quest.
Or what?
Well,
new
to be fair,
introduced.
To be fair, this is part of the Elf City. What the skill focuses of the city will be after you complete the quest.
Yeah, we're going to be, like I said, we're going to be diving into a resource dungeon, then we're going to hunt something in the dungeon, and then we are going to use herblore to wake some Sleeping Beauty and get some runecrafting experience for her.
Am I Sleeping Beauty?
Hell no. You ugly.
You also don't fall asleep that early either.
Yeah, Shane, you don't qualify for beauty sleep.
Okay. All right.
If anyone's Sleeping Beauty, it's definitely Mike with his erratic sleeping schedule.
Good thing Mike isn't here.
Alrighty,
yeah,
he probably
virtually hit me with that.
We got a Ruby poll this week pertaining to a quest that's going to be released in May. The poll is Name a Troll. So it's going to be a troll quest based on what happened to the trolls near Berthorpe. So the idea is, you know, trolls are named after whatever they first eat or what they say when they eat. So if they eat a King Kala, the troll would be named King Kala. If the troll eats
a pretty
watering
badass
can,
name.
It would be watering can.
Yeah, I guess what this one tried to eat, which I have no idea how it tried to eat.
It tried to eat... LOL.
LOL.
That's winning with 28%.
How on earth can you eat a laugh out loud?
You say it when you're eating whatever the troll first eats, right?
No, the troll is named after the first thing it tries to eat.
Or what it says while it's eating it, according to the poll.
Oh, that's changing the rules.
I know.
Hope that one doesn't win.
I know.
Clarence's foot, that would be interesting. There would be a huge story behind that, I think.
Isn't Clarence the name of some kid in Lumbridge?
If so, that just makes it even more. It's also my dad's name.
Oh, okay. Well, let's. I might change my name to Clarence's Foot then. I mean, my no, not my name. my doc. No, I mean my boat.
Your doc. You're thinking about the rubber duck, aren't you?
Yeah, the rubber duck is the 20% option. I voted for Rick. Apparently, that's after Rick Astley, but I had other Ricks in mind at the time being. So, anyways,
don't think about a pink elephant.
I chose the Morning Star.
Okay, the offhand Morning Star.
That would be a very strange name.
Yeah, you try to eat a flail.
What's a Morning Star?
I still think
flail.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Ball and chain.
Ah, all right. No, well,
wait.
There's your options right there. Hopefully, it's a troll and it's going to be a funny quest, so who really cares at this point what it's going to be named, but...
Is that why people are picking the troll option in LOL?
Yeah, definitely.
Because it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Oh, they should still pick something more funny than LOL.
Clarence's foot.
I still think
Who that took would, my phone?
I still think that would be the best, Clarence's foot.
Go away.
Yes? Anyways. All right, there's a controversial update making the rounds this week, and that's the Solomon's General Store Wealth Evaluator. People are really getting upset about this for some reason. It's only 32 rune coins for 14 days use.
Is this one? This one's been updated. Just updated once.
Hmm?
Sorry. Talking to the wrong person, Shane. Keep going.
Oh, okay.
I'm just gonna have some people I'm gonna murder later on.
Alright. Oh, no. So the Wealth Evaluator is a way to say how much everything is worth, from your inventory, your worn equipment, to your keepsake, anything you might have on the exchange, treasure chest, whatever. So the idea is that you can use this and it'll advertise it to your local chat, your friend's chat, and your clan chat. Now, it costs 32 rune coins if you use for 14 days, which really isn't that much in my view, because last year, a whole bunch of us got the Premier Club, and we never really spent anything of the rune coins that are left. I still have over 1,000 of them, so that's why I don't see 32 as a big deal. Also, given the fact that you can just dump in, anything in your bank or your inventory that you want to wealth evaluate into the price checker, and there you go. So, I guess the thing about this is that it just shows everything your bank, even if it's untradeable, which is interesting. So it gives a value to charms, which is odd, but overall I don't see a problem with this, but apparently people do. I don't see it as giving a particular advantage. Do you guys?
I think maybe it's just people getting on the rune coins thing rather than the actual wealth evaluator. Or maybe they just see it as something that's not really that useful. I don't know. What are they particularly upset about?
Well, that's the thing. They think it's giving some sort of real-world advantage, but I don't see how it's exactly doing that. Now, on the other hand, something like the Wicked Hood or the boots from a couple weeks ago, that, on the other hand, is... So, I just don't know what's wrong with this wealth evaluator. People put their values up all the time, and it's really not that big of a problem. So, I'm just kind of perplexed at this. I guess if any of you listeners out there know, send me a message and tell me what the big deal, what this thing is. I purchased one for 2 weeks' use, and it's interesting to say the least. For some odd reason, it says I have a value of over $1 billion GP, which I find hard to believe. It should only be a couple hundred million with my Santa hat and my Dregors. So I'm trying to figure out where the extra 800 million is coming from in this, which is kind of odd, but nonetheless. Is he here?
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Okay, what do you...
I'm listening.
Yeah, do you think... Like, enlighten me. What's the problem with the wealth evaluator?
Well, one thing, it doesn't really work, and really, it's just comparing size.
Size?
Yeah, Kala gets it. You'll never get it, Shane. Everyone else who listens as well, but that's about it. You're just comparing size.
I think what... let me translate what Trekkie is saying. It's basically you're just bragging about how much you have.
Okay, and that's what people are upset about?
Rather than having any particular use, it's just, you know, a way for people to say, I'm better than you.
And, I mean, that's the thing. I don't see where it's getting this value from, because I am certainly not worth 1.2 billion GP. That's what it told me.
Does it just count in your items and stuff?
Everything.
Or is it like skills and everything?
No,
like
just
that
items.
How much?
Just items. 546K
You don't feel like it's that much?
In equipped items. 1.1 billion in the bank. And 129.7 million in the Dragon Keepsake box.
Then it makes you wonder, you know, what kind of
prices
for the items
from?
Are they going off?
I mean, is it the. I have my two Dragors, and everything else except for the Black Santa hat is under 10 million GP in my bank. So I don't know where it's coming from. Where, if it could tell me where these things are coming from, that'd be nice, because I could liquidate some of these things, you know? Hell, I could purchase a seismic wand or something with all this value. Anyways, should we move on from this?
Sure.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, what's next?
Community Chronicle.
Ah, interesting. What'd they do with it this week?
Player mods having a party. Something about... Slaying Dragons on YouTube. Fan-made trailer.
Oh, okay. Right. This. I watched the fan-made trailer.
Another video
The fan-made trailer was actually pretty good. So I guess I will say to go watch this, and especially the Celestial Dragons one, because Celestial Dragons, when you think about it, are the newest thing that came from the quest last week. So... with all this amount of what's been going on here, it's really something to, I guess, take advantage of if you've done the quest, because you can get a huge amount of value here. Apparently, they were very lucrative for this person. So, 2 million plus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else in the community roundout jump up at you?
No, nothing much. I mean, the video was nice, but everything seems okay, decent.
Watch the fan-made trailer, everyone. That's very nice.
Wait, what am I going to...
Why?
Told you.
I learned that Jagex has a podcast. That's interesting.
Yeah, they do. They do these things called pollcasts for the... polls. It's definitely interesting to listen to. The next one was about the future quest. I've listened whenever they deal with the lore, but they're available at runescape.podbean.com.
How long are they?
About 25 to 30 minutes, depending. Some of them a bit more. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So, in other RS news this week, we do have the weekly and monthly XP tables for the high scores, which is something that was alluded to last year with the prestige system vote. And I'm just going to say, before we get too far into talking about what might be on the weekly high scores, that for the life of me, I cannot figure out why a weekly high scores table or a monthly high scores table is fine, but for some odd reason, having the ability to have a player reset themselves on a high scores table when they reach level 99 with the prestige system was such a problem last year. Because when you think about it, this is all prestige would have been, is it would have been an XP table where people have the ability to start fresh at a certain point past 99. So it's just a wonder to me that weekly and monthly high scores tables are no problem when the prestige system really could have just been done with a different high scores table when you think about it, was such a big issue for the community. So I'd like to see an uprising about these high scores tables, but nonetheless, I will say that this week, since Wednesday, somebody in RuneScape has got 4.8 million farming experience. It's not me.
Oh, that was my next question.
So, weekly tables forget themselves. I mean, reset themselves on the Mondays, or the Wednesdays, I'm sorry. And monthly tables reset themselves at the beginning of the month. So, definitely give something people to work for, a sense of accomplishment, same thing that prestige would have, except you would have determined when you reset yourself onto this table, yes, because, you know, it would have still been with the main high scores table. So, once again, we're dealing with a case of knee-jerk reactions and updates not being explained as thoroughly as they could be. So, anyways. You going to target any of your skills to be on this high scores table?
Seems like you have to get a lot just to get onto the front page of one.
Yeah. I mean, we've had 3.4 million divination XP this week. So, I mean, it's certainly not something for the faint of heart.
And someone apparently has gotten 60 million experience or something. And I was just looking at the weekly one.
For which skill?
In overall.
Oh, wow.
Week 2, that from March 19th to 25th. So they've gotten quite a bit. That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. I Trolled You is currently in 5th with 28.8. That's a nice name.
Oh, yeah,
anyways, are you going to go for any high scores table there, Traggy?
Nah. I'll be there for like 2 days. No, I'll be there for 30 seconds if at best.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it. You know, it certainly feels that way with this. But still, it might be an interesting thing to try. I know for certain I could be competitive in the weekly farming ones. Top 100 for sure. If I really worked at it. But the question is, how much money would this take putting in? But I don't know. Definitely interesting, to say the least. And I guess this shows a way, assuming we reset at the same time as Jagex does, of people keeping track with each other in the RSBNB skill of the month. So, All right. Anything else with the high scores table? Questions, comments, concerns, rants?
It's always nice to have more stats to look at, right?
Yeah.
Apparently you can compare yourself to your friends, which is always good.
Oh yeah, that's the best part. Let's do that. Let's do that. Whoa. My menu was jumping up and down for some reason.
Your menu was, eh?
Yeah.
I didn't mean that kind of comparing to your friends, Shane.
What?
So what's the next one here? Behind the scenes video.
It's a behind the scenes video for the upcoming quests next week, and basically they go more into what Fate of the Gods will be about and how you'll be able to explore the realm where Zaros comes from, which is something that people are very, very interested in, given, you know, that Zaros has been around for such a short period of time in terms of coming in to visit us once again, that, you know, we really do need to take an interest in his lore, and that's what Majorat Memories was about this week. So I'm happy.
Showing anything interesting on there?
Well, I mean, they don't
especially excited about.
They don't give too much away with the quest, but I mean, mainly the idea is just getting to explore an ancient area that Zaros, someone from the Second Age, came from, someone who is non-corporeal inhabited, and you actually get to meet him in the quest, which we have never done before. So, that's what's to look forward to with this quest. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm sorry, everybody, that RS section took so long.
Andy, get off.
What?
Well, it just happens when I'm on the show.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to move right on to the questions right now. The first one this week is an audio question from Parnassius.
G'day, guys. Parnassius here, and my question this week is not RS-related for once. I was recently discussing SSD drives with a sales rep for one of the big companies at work, and he was saying that while they are great with speed and such, they aren't so stable when used for long periods of time, as they heat up a lot more than the standard mechanical drive. Have you heard of anything about this, and what are your thoughts? Also, off on a different tangent, what type of mics do you use for recording? As always, thanks for the great podcast.
Well,
okay.
The Shane, thing with SSDs is that they're new technology in comparison to the spinning drives, which have been around for so long. And I am not going to put too much faith in terms of them overheating and completely destroying themselves because of that. It is a known fact that you do need to be careful that regular spinning hard drives do not overheat. Those are the ones that we really need to be worried about in terms of overheating. And when you think about it, SSDs themselves should not overheat, because it's just a matter of a microcontroller basically accessing memory that doesn't have any moving parts, so it really shouldn't get too hot. And if your computer is set up properly in terms of your case ventilation and the airflow patterns inside the case, an SSD should not suffer too much from the ambient temperature. So as long as your case is a decent temperature and the SSD is not right next to the heat sink or the graphics card, there should be no problem with an SSD overheating. Granted, you probably would not want to use an SSD in terms of a very high-performance situation where it's always being written to, because SSDs actually have a limited number of write cycles on them, meaning that they can only be written to a certain number of times before they start to develop inconsistencies and become unreliable. Now, for the standard user, this is no problem, because they're rated in such a way that day-to-day computer use is not going to be a problem for this, because, you know, when you look at what a computer is doing from when you click on something on your desktop to when it actually shows up your screen, the amount of time it's actually putting pressure on that SSD is minimal in terms of the entire time that that process takes. The reason it seems as though it takes so long with a spinning drive is because the spinning drive needs to actually physically move the head in order to find that data. An SSD doesn't need to do that. So an SSD knows where something is, looks it up very, very quickly. We're talking nanoseconds in terms of at the speed SSDs operate. So because of that, SSDs themselves really, you know, just are not majorly strained in a consumer end-user type desktop computer. But on the other hand, with the limited number of write cycles, you just do not want to overstress them to the point where they're going to use these write cycles up. And because of that, that's why SSDs probably still are not the choice for performance fast data storage, unless it's something that needs to be fast and the SSDs can be guaranteed to be replaced every so often, so they're not going to develop these inconsistencies. And that's why people like spinning drives still better for large data storage and fast access. That's SSD writing in a nutshell.
I still use one of those large drives, 3 terabytes, and I don't bother with a solid state drive because I find it doesn't really seem to improve it noticeably for me. I mean, others do find that, but I feel like if you have a good computer, it's just extra.
Yeah, and that's entirely true.
So I don't really use one. I have no need to.
In about a year, I'll have a good computer.
And when it comes down to
it... Why should I wait a couple more years for the next generation, Shane?
No, if you do that, you'll never buy anything.
Yeah, the next generation. The, what is it? The EFHI. The J1s or... Oh, yeah, the J1s, J2, and J3 Intel series.
Anyways, another thing to be leery of with SSDs I just remembered is that if you're installing an SSD on a Windows system, you will want to disable the page file for that volume of your SSD, because the page file is what your computer writes to if you start to run out of physical memory or RAM. And when you write to the page file, it's writing constantly to it in the same way that you write to memory. So that's, once again, ticking away at the write cycles of an SSD because, as I said, SSDs have limited amounts of write cycles. So disable a page file or swap file for a volume with an SSD. And that, you know, if you have enough RAM, it shouldn't be an issue. But if you don't, then maybe you need to look at relocating that file. I know this is kind of drifting on a bit, but I will say that if there are any other further questions pertaining to this, just send me a PM on the forums at rsbnb.com/forums.
He also wanted to know what kind of microphones we use.
All right. Well, what kind of mic do you use?
A cheap one.
It's an older one now. I'm not even sure if you can really find it in stores anymore, but it's the Logitech Comfort Clear Chat, I think that's what it's called.
You still have one of those that's alive?
Yeah, it's the plastic is starting to wear off of it, but it's the one I'm using. It's still good. It still sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it does.
You guys can obviously tell. So until it breaks down, I probably won't need to get a new one. And it was very cheap. It was like, what, $20 or $30 or something like that at the time. So just proof that expensive microphone is not really necessary. All you need is something that's good and reliable, lasts for a while.
Yeah, but I will say that modern Logitech microphones seem to have gone to garbage. The last Logitech headset I had lasted about 6 months, and then the plastic split apart.
Yeah, I don't like Logitech.
What kind are you using?
Panasonic. Same one as last time. Right. Same brand, same model.
And see, this is the thing.
What I like about this one is...
Okay.
What?
Say the reason why you like that one and I can't get you to swap from it.
Because this one's portable and foldable. I can literally fold this up and dump it in my backpack and be done.
And there you go. And he sounds pretty good, doesn't he?
Oh, thanks, Shane. I didn't know you liked that about me.
He's got a great voice.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
I mean,
you're the one with the... Don't forget, Mr. Culla, that a girl did once mention that you had a sexy laugh.
I think the exact words were cute laugh.
Oh,
but sure, we can go with that, Trekkie.
Yeah,
I've been told before by customers at work that I should work in radio. So I think that's a little far fetched. Maybe that's trying to butter me up, get some extra McChicken sauce or something like that.
All right. So aside from that little digression there, basically what we like is we like USB microphones because they are quick, they work most of the time, and they really limit the chance of having background noise brought into the audio system, which is very important for us on the show, because if I have to remove background noise from the Skype track, it just gets very hairy, because I only have one track for everybody on Skype, and I don't know who it is. So basically what's going on with that is that they use headsets, but I, a couple years ago, moved towards a condenser-type microphone, which is essentially a broadcasting microphone. I don't know what the general consensus of everybody listening is, but it's called the MXL990, and it's the USB version. So there's a non-USB version as well, which is actually the one I would recommend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It does require a bit of technique. Okay. Because you see, if I turn my head like this, I start sounding different. And it's not the best sound quality. So I need to maintain a distance that is very close to the microphone, and it involves a lot of looking around the microphone to see the notes and whatnot. And you know, I can't turn over here if I need to look at something else Anyways.
But that's pretty much any microphone, really. I mean, if you took your headset off and pointed it away from you, then...
And plus, you have the headset. It moves with your head.
Yeah, exactly. There's benefits and drawbacks to any different type of microphone, really.
Indeed. All right. Well, thank you, Parnassius.
Nice accent, too.
I'm going to get Kala to read the Magic One question, because there's something going on about McChicken sauce.
What is happening?
Give Shane something to read for a little while. Anyways, our next question is from Magic One. Dear hosts, I am personally very in favor of a RuneScape app, which I want almost entirely for Treasure Hunter and ports. I can't always be at my computer at reset time, and missing sending my ships can really get annoying on these longer voyages. Do either of you have any other ideas for the app? Personally, though, I'm against it. I can see Jagex implementing us. Spend 30 minutes on the app and get a free Treasure Hunter ticket concept, or worse. Do you think it would be fair to train any skills on the app? What about an app-only minigame with in-game rewards, either armor or XP? All the best, Magic One.
Cosmetic overrides. You'll be able to bring a phone that you hold in your hand, lodestone teleport. Where you take out your Palm Pilot, press some buttons, and teleport to your new destination.
Could it look like the Star Trek transporter thing?
No. Because of you? You asked? No. No. No, no, Shane.
Okay.
Anyway, app. I would like an app that will actually maybe do a little bit with the Grand Exchange, like check on your item or something.
Well, you can do that now.
Mm. I think an application like that where you can just like check stats or prices or anything like that and not actually do any training or moving anywhere in the world, I think that would be good. Something like an assistant or something like that to help look up things. Or you can like check up guides or anything like that. Or you know, neat little things
actually,
on
they
the website.
They actually do have those, but usually they're not very well. They're made from third parties, not officially from Jagex.
Well, yeah. No, we got and the. If they made... We got the RS Companion. Except it's a web app. And recently, remember, they added Grand Exchange to it. So you can check the Grand Exchange from it, but you cannot sell stuff from your inventory. You can chat with people, but you can't really do much else aside from that.
And it would be good to have some, you know, functionality with it, because I know a lot of games that are, you know, based in the online multiplayer setting, they do have, you know, apps.
Actually,
that you can check up different things.
You know what would be good? You can connect it with your clan citadel or whatnot, and actually use it as a way to keep in contact. Like, there's an event that's coming on soon. What you can do is set it up on your phone, and that you get a reminder. You can set it up as a reminder, you know, that the event is happening soon. Or you can use it as a messaging device. You can only message your friends or wherever you choose to be, and be like, hey, can you come XYZ later on, or whatever you want, a quick messaging kind of tool.
But remember, we can already do that with the RS Companion app.
Yeah, but you said it's a web-based, isn't it?
Yeah, it is web-based, but it's not... Okay, there we go, it showed up. It's web-based, but, I mean, it doesn't feel as good as it could be, if you know what I mean. It's still kind of rough around the edges, but it's a start for Jagex, I will give them that. I completely agree that there needs to be some sort of mobile integration with it, specifically with ports, or maybe mini games that you could play just on your phone, and then you get some sort of rewarding game. I definitely think that's a good idea for this, and I actually suggested something like this back in November, I think, when this first came out, that maybe we do some sort of phone-based minigame and have it play to what goes on in-game. But, you know, I mean, there's only so much you can do with
actually,
the web, and there are limitations.
What if they did something with the mobile app, mobilized armies on the phone? 'Cause it's horrible in the game. Maybe they can improve it in the mobile phone.
Right? Yep, you could definitely do that. That would be a good thing, I think. Yeah, that's a good idea. Mobilizing armies on the phone. Very nice. But yeah,
there's a lot they could do with it, probably. And really, it's how much they want to do to it to make it better. But it's totally up to them, I suppose. And how
yeah,
much they
I mean,
want to
I
add
got...
to it, because I know they've been kind of adamant against a RuneScape mobile client in the past, so I'm not sure what their stance on that now is. But
it's something
I guess we'll
they
have to see
do,
if they end up doing something like that.
But they can't get the interface right. So they're going to bring other parts of it eventually. But, I mean, I have lots of ideas for this kind of stuff. Maybe I should write some of these things up on the forums and post them. Anyways, anything else on Magic One's question?
No, I mean ports would be good. They should do something with. I think they should do something with mobilizing armies, kind of bring that back, because I think that is so bad. Everyone's so inclined to click and drag, and all they're doing is, you know, click on that. Like, no, don't do that.
Yep. Agreed. Alrighty. Well, that's it for questions this week, everybody. So thank you for sending those in. If you want to send in questions, you can send them to questions@rsbnb.com if they're audio. Or just wait until the forum topic is up on Monday and post the text questions there. So I look forward to seeing what you guys got to say. Alright. Moving on to tech news. Turkey bans Twitter.
You mean Turkey?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Trekkie didn't ban Twitter.
I said Turkey.
I heard Turkey, too.
I heard Trekkie. It wasn't just me then, good.
I said Turkey banned Twitter.
Well, that's a bunch of gobble gobble.
Yes. Anyways.
I'm sorry, I tried to carve up a better joke for us, but it didn't come.
Oh, no.
Well, we should just give thanks that that's all I could come up with.
Oh.
I'm sorry, that's it for the puns for me, I'm sorry.
So anyways, Turkey's having an election later this year, and there's been some questions as to what's going on in the government there. So rather than trying to do trying to address the scandals or just ignore them, Turkey has taken a step backwards and joined countries like Iran and whatnot, North Korea, China, and banned Twitter in response to what was going on here. But the interesting part is that even though they banned the web service of Twitter, so Twitter.com and all the applications for it, people were still able to tweet and access through SMS, because the SMS system is, of course, independent of the internet and goes through your phone's cell phone network. And you really can't block that without shutting down the text messaging service. So basically, that's the way people have been accessing Twitter, and there have been ads popping up everywhere to access Twitter through SMS, and that's something that Twitter still uses, even though back in the olden days, that was the primary method of using Twitter was through SMS. So it's interesting to see that being used in place of actual internet and getting around a government censor.
Which is disappointing to see, because Turkey used to be, you know, more progressive than most of the other Muslim countries, too.
Yeah.
So that they're taking a bit of a step back tech-wise, it's not so nice to see. But it'll be interesting to see what happens in their upcoming election.
Yeah, and I mean, the way I see it is that they're the country that's on the border between Europe and the Middle East, and if you lose Turkey, then there's really something wrong in the Middle East, and showing what Western values do actually need to end up be saying in terms to these countries that, yes, this is okay, and no, this is not okay. And the fact that Turkey is deciding to side with the Middle Eastern countries rather than the pro-democracy force of the world, that is troubling. But I mean, that's just the way the ball bounces, and I guess this is one of the things we're going to be seeing in the future. People always trying to find ways to access various internet sites, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, or Google, to access the information and the outside world. So, like you said, definitely going to be interesting to see what happens with this, and you got to hope that they do take a step in the right direction of realizing what they need to do in order to be a well-behaving state of the 21st century. I guess that's the best way of putting it. All right.
Okay.
Going once. Okay. Going twice. Gone. Next up, Twitter has created a website to allow people to see their first tweets. Firsttweets.com, first-tweets.com. You can enter in a Twitter handle and you can see the first tweet. So if you want to see the RSBNB's Twitter handle, you can do that. Basically, the first tweet on the RSBNB Twitter account was in 2009 and for episode 205. Remember, audio questions can go to questions at rsbnb.com for RSBNB update 205. Way back in the olden days. Way back in the olden days.
Okay. Yeah, I don't tweet, just, so I don't care.
I heard that they just celebrated their 10th anniversary on Twitter.
Yep, and that's why they were that old. Yeah. All these internet companies are getting older. Twitter really broke onto the main stage, I think, in 05, mainly 06, 07, started gaining traction. But definitely has come a long way and become an advertising platform, I guess you could call it that, since that's what most of the data is used for. And personally, it's a very good source of news for me, and That's where most of my news comes from, most of the tech news you hear on this show.
I think I stopped using it in 2011.
All day through.
Of course, yeah, my first tweet back in middle of 2009 was, just signed up. Wee! Dot, dot, dot. I think my second tweet was better, though. Adding new people on Twitter. Maybe this is the start of a new trend. Maybe I'll stay here. Who knows? Using up the character limit is fun. Yay! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. I definitely didn't use it that much because I basically just used Facebook for whatever I needed to.
Right.
Okay.
But I kind of stopped after a while. Oh, yeah, I see. Just signed up.
Whee!
Yeah.
And you're following 927 people. Wow.
I don't even know.
It looks like you're following Koreans as well.
Oh, apparently.
What?
Oh, that would be StarCraft pro gamers. That's why.
I see.
Okay.
They sometimes make some very interesting things on there.
All right.
Alrighty. Well, that's it for that one. What's our final piece of tech news?
We have something, a big surprise coming in.
What is that?
From the scientific community. I've heard something about the Big Bang that happened on Monday.
Yes, this was very interesting.
Scientists
to see.
Have. And basically, scientists say they have extraordinary new evidence to support a Big Bang theory from the origin of the universe. Say?
Okay.
That sounds good.
So basically, what they did is they looked very far back with a telescope. The way telescopes work is that the further the telescope can see, the further in time it's looking back, because there's a direct correlation between the speed light travels and when it reaches us. So something that's 14 billion light years away happened 14 billion years ago. 50,000 light years, 50,000 years ago. So that's how you look into the past history of the universe. And through doing this, they noticed little gravitational ripples that illustrated the process of inflation, that's the universe increasing in size through this. And this is a theory that was postulated in the 80s, and as early as 2011, we weren't knowing if this was going to be proven true in our lifetimes. So definitely very interesting to see what's going on with this. But of course, I'll also throw in that, you know, theories are theories, and you need to have a good proof to it, and somebody can always come along and disprove you, and if they do, then it could be off to the fresh drawing board for whatever it might be.
Okay.
All right. Anything else on inflation from either of you?
Universe is constantly expanding, and either it will either keep expanding or it will collapse on us after it reaches a finite point. And then it starts the whole cycle again for the next couple billion years.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think most scientists have agreed now that we're expanding and that it's going to keep expanding rather than expanding to some arbitrary point.
Well, in a way you kind of think about it, it's only so much stuff in the universe.
Yeah, and, you know, once it expands out all so far apart, there's going to be nothing left. There's going to be nothing to mix up and create new stars.
Uh-huh.
So the universe will die one day. It's just a matter of when.
Probably not for a while, though.
Yeah, not in our lifetimes. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, we do have Skill of the Month for March, which is prayer. Kind of boring. I think we need another jump start here this week.
let's pray for something nice to happen, right?
Yeah. Currently, Flash is in first place with 2.6 million experience gained. Second place is Uncle Dana with 1.1. And third place is Mage Guy 08 with 568,000.
I see Trekkie on there. That's interesting.
Yes, I flatlined. Ish. I still got a little bit, but I actually had a beep.
Well, technically, most everyone's flatlined.
Yeah, pretty much everyone else is flatlined this week, so it's...
I need to do dungeoneering in order to get prayer up because I have so much extra prayer XP.
And you know, it's kind of expected to see this with prayer because it's just so expensive. People start off with a good push and then by the end of the month they get tired and reset.
No, I'm broke.
Oh, okay.
That's why. I'm broke. I like used up all my dragon bones, got the level, and I'm done.
Would you like me to fund your prayer?
No, I don't like to be indebted to you.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Yeah, see? Shane got really quiet. Okay. Anyway, air runes?
Yes.
Where did air runes come from?
Well, basically, remember we had a question on the show last week?
Okay.
About air runes and making money in general. So what I did is I took that idea and put it into the format of one of our RSBMB update supplementals. And with this, I was able to generate some values as to how much money can be made with air runes. And you can make about 400,000 GP an hour if you have level 66 runecrafting, which is pretty good for that level, and per hour. And combining that with other things, you can, of course, make more than that, and basically just shows that elemental runes are a good thing to be looking at these days, even though most people might not think about elemental runes as a primary form of, currency generation. I'm sorry, that was me. By accident.
Oh, well, I'll just put it back, shall I?
Yes.
Well, for those who are wondering, Kale here was wondering who went and deleted his little post on the forum, and Shane just admitted
Art Roundup.
I was wondering where it went.
I was looking at it. I'm like, where did it go? look into the archives, and oh, there it is. Fascinating. Well, at least you didn't put my other one in there too. It was the only last two I've had in a while.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Both of the listeners
should have
just
left that
spam
accident. Post on there. It's always nice to get posts on the roundup, even if it is spam. Anyways, sorry, I lost track of the conversation while I was looking at that. Achievements of the week, right? Okay, I'm sorry. thank you, Shane.
First up, Parnassius, 99 Hunter, on March 20th.
Congratulations.
Okay.
You also got 99 agility on March 14th.
We had Magic K1 who got a 99 smithing on the 18th, and 101 Duck 1 who got 99 slayer and attack on 16 and 15. Congrats.
Congrats to you all.
Good work, everyone. Level 99s are always hard to get and require great amounts of time to put in, and whether or not they be something like a combat skill or cooking. The idea is that if you like something in RuneScape, and I mean, even if you feel it's useless to get 99, that's what I did with my farming, and I really enjoyed it. So, good job, everyone. All right, does anybody have a pick of the week?
Pick of the week? No, I do not.
I do, but if Kala has one, he can take this since he is a guest and he's not on very often.
I haven't really thought of one in ages. And I thought, according to the show notes here, it says Shane's pick, so I didn't think of one. So you're okay. Putting me on the spot a little bit here, but I can't really think of one. I mean,
all right, yeah. To be fair, that was just in there as placeholder, and I should have asked beforehand. But I knew I was forgetting something when I started the show. But anyways, no, that's already been used as a pick before.
Yeah, I figured. Anyways,
The pick of the week is a. Oh dear. The pick of the week this year, or this week, is a TV show. The TV show is called Continuum. It's kind of a science fiction-y, I guess that's the way you'd call it, because it does deal with time travel. Show about basically a group of people who escaped the late 21st century from being executed, and they make it to 2012, 2013, of course, our modern time, and they're with a cop from that time period, and they need to figure out a way to get back. So the idea is that they'll either, the cop will either reincarcerate them as she wants to do, or she will, through the process, get back to time. And the show just started its third season last week, so that's the main reason it's the pick of the week now. It's a good show. I intend to watch it, and you know, it's always nice to see science fiction shows get through their first, second, and eventually third season, which doesn't really happen all that often. So I'm happy with that. Ultimately,
yeah, that's it's always good.
Yeah, and ultimately, I was a bit leery about using the show and promoting it because it does kind of harken back to the whole Occupy Wall Street motif, so I didn't want to have any promoting of that kind of idea out there. But nonetheless, I think if the producers can get away with it, I think we're safe. That is definitely something that is a central theme. It's do you or do you not side with the perceived villain of the show, and I think it's always interesting when a show makes you side with the villain. Or some people will. Not in the case of me.
And what's it called again?
Continuum.
Continuum.
Sounds it's actually set in Vancouver.
Oh, sounds even more interesting. I should look it up.
Yes, you should.
Well, I guess it's is it a Canadian show?
Yep.
Figures. I guess it's in Vancouver.
That's also why it's a pick of the week. So
would say, fascinating.
That's the three reasons for choosing this one. So I have everybody go check it out. Link is in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com.
Okay, cool.
All righty, what have we been doing? Let's start with King Kala.
Well, other than working, I've had a few days off here and there, which is always nice. And I've been playing a lot of World of Tanks recently with my good friends.
Oh, really?
Shane, Mike, and Trekkie. Not Trekkie. I'm just kidding.
Yes, not me. Okay.
Reed as well, whenever he shows up, but mostly Mike and Shane, and we've been playing that, which is a lot of fun, and if anyone likes tanks-based games, I would urge them to try it, because it is a lot of fun, I find, yeah, here and there.
And what does you say, that's half the fun thing. Of it?
Half the fun of it is playing with Shane, of course, and hearing all the funny things that happen along the ride. It's all about the journey, really. In Shane's case, journey sometimes down a cliff or into water or bumping into someone or accidentally firing on a teammate
or you shooting
accidentally on purpose firing into me or...
This guy got banned for an hour once for doing that.
In fairness, I was kind of annoyed at you constantly shooting at me, so I ended up shooting you twice. Then they banned me for an hour. So then we had to go play Starcraft for an hour. and he's never let me forget it. But it is a very fun game. Other than that, really, I haven't been up to very much. I've just been working mostly, saving up, heading to Vancouver in a couple of weeks. And that should be fun. I'm going to a concert or two.
Oh, yeah? Which ones?
Dream Theater and Caravan Palace, which are two of my favorite bands. And I'm also going to see a Vancouver Canucks game while I'm there, which will be my first one in person.
Oh, wow.
And hopefully they don't suck. But it is against the Calgary Flames, so I have faith that they will beat them. Other than that, not too much. Just looking forward to warm weather and not so much rain.
All right. Sounds good. And what have you been up to, my dear co-host?
I've been doing a little bit of ports. I'm at like 76% away to the next area. Another guy just got killed. Got thrown overboard and was fed to the mighty sharks of Galenor. Let's see. And I finally got promoted in StarCraft 2 in 1v1. Took me forever, but I finally did it. I'm happy with that, and I'm satisfied.
That's good. As for me this week, I got 94 cooking. Speaking of that, I do have some sharks to give you. Remind me of that. So I did that. And aside from that, I've just been doing the Majorat memories. As I said, long time. I got two of them left to do. I'll probably finish those up tonight. But aside from that, just ports on RS. The same place you are. I'm 71% of the way through Region 5, getting to Region 6. So you're probably getting to Region 7 or Region 8, right?
Is there?
I don't know. But
okay.
So that's what I've been doing on RS, and outside of RS, I've just been working on some programming type stuff. Kind of annoying, but maybe I'll have something to share about that in a couple of weeks. With that, also, just been doing a bit of Star Trek Online with Trekkie and Earth. Which has actually turned out to be pretty fun. So
yes,
I'm happy about that.
For those who don't know, for the past couple months, I told Shane that I uninstalled the game just to give him something to worry about. And then yesterday he's like, I don't want to do any of this stuff with my fleet because they're all assholes. And I said, come on, Shane, let's go do something. No, you're lying. I'm not lying. Let's go. No, you're lying. Shane, I'm waiting for you in the game. No, I don't think you're lying. Shane, get in here. No, you're not going to be here. Get in here. All right. Hey, you are on. I've been saying that 5 minutes. But Shane was happy that we managed to do some pew-pew, pew-pew-pew-pew. Pew-pew!
And they lived happily ever after.
Yep. And that's a perfect way to end this episode of RSBNB Update. So I will say to everybody to make sure you have your divination levels in check for next week's quest. And we will see you next week for Majorat Memories with Earth. So, thank you, King Kulla, a.k.a. Patrick, for joining us. It's been a while. It's always nice to have you on the show.
It has been a while, and it's always a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you both for inviting me. It's been definitely lots of fun.
Alrighty. That being said, we'll see you next week, and do those divination levels. See you, everyone.
Alright, bye guys.
See you later.